This
is URN.
Enzyme discovery could see devices literally create energy from thin air. The enzyme is called Hook and has been mooted as a potential alternative to other renewable energy sources. If production can be scaled up, air-powered electronic devices could become viable in the future. So, I'm hoping you guys have read this article. You think this could be a potential alternative to other renewable energy sources and those that are non-renewable?
I mean, I'd like it to be. I mean, reading through the article, it cites what was my first concern, which is the temperature, obviously. Enzymes are a protein, and proteins tend to denature, which means they deactivate most proteins at sort of north of 60 degrees. However, the study has shown that this enzyme can be frozen, it can be heated, and it still retains its power to generate energy. Obviously, to what level? It'd probably be a reduced level that's able to do that, but that's a promising thing. However, to what extent, you know, you can incorporate this sort of living to an extent thing into a system and have it, you know, be around sort of these heavy metals that could interact, you know, other pollutants in the air. It's certainly, if it's taking from the air, you have to consider everything in the air, which I think is quite a tall order considering the different air qualities no matter where you are, which might interfere with what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I am very much not a scientist. I'm not scientifically minded, so I don't remember an awful lot about enzymes based on my scholastic experience. But one thing I'm sure I do remember, maybe one of you guys knows more about this, when it says at the top, when it says kind of that this enzyme can literally create energy from thin air, I thought the whole bit with energy was that you can't do that. I thought that was a rule. So is this, have they like broken physics here, or is this a kind of, is this a clickbaity headline? What's going on?
Well, Kit, according to this article, the enzyme transforms hydrogen specifically into electrical current.
Okay.
Now, we're going to pass to Connor, our resident scientist, to explain that to two humanities students.
I mean, okay, so I don't know the ins and outs of this enzyme. If I had to hazard an educated guess, I would imagine it's quite similar to a fuel cell in a car, a hydrogen-powered car, because that's all electrical. That is just splitting hydrogen and probably water in the air down to its two components, and from that you're able to make charged ions which can then carry a charge, generating electricity. Though I'm not so sure about, because typically, again, like you said, energy can't as easily be created. Enzymes are mainly just a body for speeding up of reactions. So it's the hydrogen probably has to react from something from the air, which I would hazard a guess is the water vapor in the air, which the enzyme can use. Also, you know, I feel like we've seen plenty of these articles before about here's a new enzyme that can do all these wonderful things for the planet, and then we never hear about them again.
You see, I think this because I, you know, if this is true, it's absolutely wonderful. But I feel like every other day you kind of see something that's like, oh, we've solved the energy crisis. But then it turns out we have, in fact, not done that. And I just, you know, I do, like, there's part of me, obviously making all of these new scientific discoveries is absolutely wonderful. And we should be researching because maybe there is some kind of, you know, miracle cure for the energy crisis out there. But there is part of me that wonders whether we should be focusing more of our attention, both in the media and also maybe in research, in things that we know do work or kind of have the potential to actually work, like in the near future, because the, you know, the energy crisis is something we need to be solving like stat. So I don't know, but maybe I'm a pessimist. Maybe this will work.
I think you are a pessimist, Kit. Oh, I'm very disappointed in you today.
Oh, it's all that tiredness from the walking here.
Oh, precisely. That Portland Hill, oof. But
really does get you.
You do have some valid points there. I'm not going to dispute that, because there is, like, every other week you have something being discovered and scientists are, like, making a big deal about it. And potentially that just comes down to them trying to market their research to get more funding.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, maybe the kind of the flip side of my point is that if you don't get excited about new things and just assume that we should stick to things that won't work, if we always did that, we'd never find anything new.
And we'd probably kill the planet even more.
Yeah, that is true. So hopefully this works. Hopefully this works, you know. I'm not a scientist, but I'm willing to accept what they give us. So.
And I'm not a scientist either, but I am quite excited by this. It's really interesting. I haven't done science since GCSEs, and it's a nice little throwback bringing up enzymes and, you know, having this science lesson with Connor over here. It's been
great.
Yeah,
you said the word, like, denatured or something. I was like, I remember that.
Oof, I remember that question in my exam. Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember what that means. It's very exciting. But yeah. I think what's interesting about this study and the way that it's been explained in the article is that it hasn't assumed that we're all scientists. And I really appreciate that because I will admit I am a bit dumb when it comes to that front. And my favourite kind of sentence in this, in explaining how this enzyme converts this energy, is that it's the enzyme Hook was found to transform the gas into an electrical current, like a natural battery.
Do we know why it's called Huck or Hook?
That's a good question, Kit. If anyone listening in, that's your little homework for today's
Sending a message to the show.
Let us know if you know why it's called Hook. But in other news, apparently the team at Monash University in Melbourne, who is currently doing this study, described it as extraordinarily efficient.
Mm.
Apparently, it is possible to freeze the enzyme or heat it to 80, I don't know if it, degrees Celsius, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
And it retains its power to generate energy. And this is how, this reflects that this enzyme helps bacteria to survive in the most extreme environments. And just so you get an idea of the sorts of extreme environments, the enzyme is apparent, the bacteria the enzyme is from is apparently commonly found in environments lacking in nutrients, such as the deep ocean, volcanic craters, and the Antarctic soils. And it's in Australia too, so how about that, guys? What do you think?
I mean, you know, extremophiles, you know, especially ones by underwater sort of organic, underwater sort of fissures, those tend to be sort of thought of as sort of the cradle of life as a whole. Like, extremophiles such as these are thought to be the predecessor for all life. So it makes sense that it's able to take the most common element in the universe to sort of sustain itself. Obviously, it's in a bacteria, which has its own issues. Replication, you've got to deal with. You've got to deal with sort of, if you're scaling it up, you know, you've got to fit all these bacteria into a place. They probably need, you know, sort of, you need to think about how you're packing them. You need to think about how they're going to attract space, things like that. You know, by packing them all together to try and make it as small as possible, you limit their surface area to volume ratio by packing them in, packing them on top of each other, so that not all of them will get all the hydrogen they need, so they might die, and that can lead to its own issues. Equally, dealing with replication, you could get random, just genetic mutations, which can then lead to, you know, other issues. I personally wouldn't necessarily feel the most comfortable knowing that, you know, the thing I'm holding up to my face, being, for example, my phone, could arbitrarily just change and then have something wrong with it that it could affect me, because replication like that on such a scale, random mutation is common, is the thing. So I wonder how they're going to sort of try and manage for these sort of things as well.
That's a really interesting point. I hadn't considered that at all. Now has anyone been watching the new Last of Us series on television?
Yes.
Bits
now
and pieces.
I'm just imagining that.
I mean, that is a real-ish kind of thing. There is an actual fungus that mainly in ants does it.
They tell you about that at the start of the
show. Okay.
And I played the games, so I'm clearly set up for this apocalypse.
Yeah, I've been ready for this since I was 14. I'm ready
set.
To go.
Don't worry, Connor. We'll just require you to explain what's going on. But I kind of got a gist there that you're not 100% on this new source, potential source, and the same from Kit as well. So I'm going to have to be devil's advocate in the room in a weird way and be positive about this, which is very weird for us. Usually we're all on board with being negative.
Well, I'd like it to work.
Absolutely.
I'd like it to work.
Yeah.
And I had not considered the issues you mentioned, Connor, about replication and that, because obviously that's just not something that I knew could be a problem. I think, my worry would my worry is just kind of spreading ourselves too thin in terms of resources and finding lots of sort of new things that almost work but don't quite, if you know what I mean.
That's actually a really good point. Perhaps instead of focusing on creating all of these new sources, we could focus on advancing the ones we already have and ensuring that they work to the most effective level possible. And it is kind of scary to think that there's an enzyme that could be then used to just harvest energy from the air, hopefully not make all our technology malfunction. You know, it's kind of weird to think about. I don't know much about phones or tech, so I just put anything up to my ear if it's in my phone. And you've kind of made me worried now.
Another worrying point, hydrogen is a flammable gas. You are introducing it possibly into electrical circuits. Any sort of malfunction, like phones are already well known, especially, I'm not sure if you remember a couple of years ago, there was that one line of Samsung phones that just exploded.
Oh my gosh, yes, I remember those.
I do remember that.
Maybe they used this source. Maybe they were using the hook enzyme.
Yeah. But obviously you're introducing hydrogen into a device that could malfunction and cause a spark. Beyond that, fuel cells in cars, they're massive. I don't quite fancy going back to the 1980s in terms of my phones. I know I'm focusing a lot on phones here, but again, I'm just thinking...
That's the thing we most use nowadays. That's the one tech everyone has on them.
Yeah.
And it's also sort of a smaller electronic, because I don't see feasibly how this could be scaled up to, say, power a building.
On campus.
And online.
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 This
is
URN.